On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Welcome back to WKOK Sunrise. Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. He is a member of the Critics' Choice Association, which is pretty noteworthy because their awards are coming out, right?
Our documentary awards are next month, and our regular Critics' Choice Awards are in January.
Okay, so right around the corner. So this is awards season, so he's going to be buying the tux. Do as I do. Please follow him at aisleseat.com and on Twitter at aisleseat. Gemini Man, what did you think?
In Gemini Man, Will Smith plays a government assassin who wants to retire. The agency he worked for decides he needs to be eliminated instead, so they bring in mercenary Clive Owen. He secretly cloned Smith 25 years ago and trained that clone to be a lean, mean killing machine. Long story short, Smith has to elude a younger version of himself that wants to kill him. Sigmund Freud would have had a field day with this movie. Story-wise, Gemini Man is a mess. It's filled with half-developed characters and many potentially important plot points are glossed over. The screenplay simply can't be bothered to do the things needed to generate suspense. That said, director Ang Lee shot the film in 4K high frame rate 3D. The image is so crystal clear and so detailed that it doesn't look like a movie. It looks like everything is happening for real right in front of you. That benefits the action scenes immensely. You'll be dodging debris from explosions, hanging onto the armrests during the motorcycle chase, and flinching whenever fists start flying. Scenes where people are talking, of which Gemini Man has way too many, don't benefit from high frame rate 3D, but the three big action sequences are mind-blowing. If you're into cinematic technology, the movie is worth seeing on that count. Otherwise, it's one of Will Smith's bigger duds. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2 Fresh Princes of Bel-Air.
All right, so let's start with the film, then we'll go on to the 4K. What could have glued this together? I just saw a bit of the trailer. It looked pretty good, particularly now that I know what you're saying, but you say they just didn't glue it together.
It needs a better screenplay. The movie just kind of shortcuts things and glosses over issues that could be developed and generate the suspense. It really, there's a whole subplot about his clone and the clone's relationship with the guy who created him, who he's always seen as his father. And there's potential there for some real human drama, but the movie very much stays on the surface and doesn't really dig into that. So the whole thing, you could tell that they were interested in playing around with the high frame rate 3D for the action scenes, but maybe not so interested in the story or the characters.
All right. And Will Smith can't save this with his good acting?
No. He's fine in it. He plays both roles. They use special CGI to de-age him. So he looks about the age he did when he played the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and then there's modern day Will Smith. So that's kind of interesting, and he's fine in the roles. But again, the problem really is just the screenplay.
And with more work, this sounds like a fabulous premise.
It's a great premise, and if they had a better script, I think they would have had a much better movie.
Okay, we could have pulled that together. Mm-hmm. All right, so 4K high frame rate 3D. Explain,
yeah.
I mean, technically, what's happening there?
Well, the 4K, I mean, obviously, if you have a 4K TV, you know how bright and clear the image is, but the high frame rate is actually like double the normal frame rate that you would see a movie projected at digitally. And so it removes that barrier that you have with the movie. You know, most times you go to a movie and it looks like a movie, even though it's people and it's locations and things you recognize, it still looks like a movie. High frame rate 3D takes that away, and so it looks like a theater performance. When there are scenes of people talking, it looks like it feels like you're sitting a couple feet away from Will Smith as he's actually acting, and everything looks so real. And then in the action scenes, about 15 minutes into this movie, there's a scene where somebody throws a hand grenade and things blow up, and I literally jumped back in my seat because it looks like an explosion has just happened in the front of the theater. So it doesn't have that, you know, that cinematic texture that you normally get from a movie. It takes that away. It makes everything look so vivid and so real.
So this has a lot of potential with the right vehicle. This could be quite the experience.
Yes and no. It's great for the action scenes in that sense. It does immerse you in them more. So I think it does have some benefit there. It's distracting in the scenes where people are talking because it looks like that motion smoothing setting on your TV where everything's just a little too glossy. and the lighting seems weird in the talking scenes. Everything looks too bright. It looks like a set. And the fact that you don't have that cinematic quality, for me, I found that a distraction in the more talkative moments or the character moments. It's great for action, but not so much for scenes where people are sitting and talking or giving exposition or something.
I was just going to say that most movies, the voices are redubbed afterwards so they, you know, they can get the inflections precisely as they want them. They match up okay under a high definition like that. It sounds like you detect that it's a redub under some circumstances.
Yeah, it's just something, it's weird. It's both incredibly real and kind of artificial at the same time. I don't know if that makes any sense. But this is still in the early stages, and I think if other directors play around with it, they might figure out how to really make it work better than it does here.
Okay, well, yeah, and I don't want to say if Will Smith in real life is having a terrible conversation with someone else up close, I don't want to be 3 feet away.
Yeah, it's like watching a theater performance. It's like if you were to go to the movies and there were people standing in front of the screen actually acting it out. That's what it feels like when you're watching it in high frame rate. But again, there's a motorcycle chase in this movie. Will Smith is riding his motorcycle down a narrow alley, and the camera's sort of on the back of the bike, and you literally hold on to the armrest of the chair because it feels like you're on the back of a motorcycle zooming down this street. So incredible for the action scenes, kind of distracting for everything else.
Overall, two Fresh Princes of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Gemini Man with the 4K high frame rate 3D. So
yes.
Hopefully we'll see some good director make even better use of it at some point in the near future. The Critics' Choice Documentary Award nominees are out. So who's getting nominated? Most folks don't see most of the documentaries, but tell me what you've seen.
Yeah, we give out documentary awards in November. I was fortunate enough to be on the nomination committee this year, so I was one of the people that helped choose the nominees. And the three big vote-getters, the three big nominees, are actually movies that have all played locally and have done very well at the box office. The Biggest Little Farm is the most nominated film. It has 7 nominations in 16 categories. And the space movie Apollo 11 has 6 nominations. And Peter Jackson's They Shall Not Grow Old, which takes the old World War I footage and colorized it and put it into 3D and you know, did some things with the sound. That also got 6 nominations. So those are the top 3 nominees in our awards. The winners will be announced November 10th at a ceremony in Brooklyn, and Jonathan Scott from the Property Brothers will be the host of the event.
And you're going to Brooklyn that day?
I am not going. I have a family, 2 young children, so I would, as much as I would love to go to this, my priority is always with my family first.
Okay, well, good. All right, well, and they benefit from that.
They are the most important thing to me by far.
We appreciate that. Okay, so we'll look for that on November?
November 10th.
10th, okay. We'll be following up on that, and then we'll hear more about the winner. Mm-hmm. But if you want to see The Biggest Little Farm.
The Biggest Little Farm. Played not long ago at the Campus Theater, and really good movie. It's about a couple who decide to build and operate a sustainable farm and the challenges that they go through.
All right, Apollo 11 and They Shall Not Grow Old. So we'll keep an eye on them. If they pop up on our cable or satellite, maybe we'll give them a watch.
The latter two are available on DVD, and Apollo 11 is also streaming on Hulu if you have that.
Okay. And Robert Forster died.
Yeah, this one stung for me. Robert Forster, one of my favorite actors, died at the age of 78 from brain cancer. He made his film debut in 1967's Reflection in a Golden Eye opposite Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor, and was one of those journeyman actors who just appeared in all kinds of things, but really hit his stride in 1997 when he was Oscar nominated as Best Supporting Actor for his work in Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown, which is one of the great performances of the 1990s. And that movie really sent his career into high gear. He continued to work in all kinds of films, including David Lynch's Mulholland Drive and TV shows like the Twin Peaks revival and Breaking Bad. So Robert Forster, just one of those good guy actors who was great in everything he did, dead at the age of 78.
All right, and where are you going to the movies today? Well, I know where you're going. What are you going to see?
A Zombieland Double Tap, sequel to one of my favorite horror comedies of the last.
And what else is new this week? I forgot to ask you that.
Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. Angelina Jolie is back as the famous Disney villain.
Ooh, okay. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Movie Mike, we'll see you at the movies. Movie Mike McGranahan's appearances sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.